This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
Tomorrow on our sister station, 95.1 The Fox, is going to be a very big basketball game. And it is one that fits every criteria as to the reason why Alabama should win a game. But let's talk to David Cobb about that. He covers the Tennessee Volunteers for the Chattanooga Times Free Press. And David, I'll start with something that I was hearing earlier in the season when Tennessee was playing Auburn. And that was the fact of this team is talented. It's a very good basketball team, but they're young and they need to learn to play together. Have they grown into a better basketball team? Are they getting out of that youth that you continue to hear from Rick Barnes?
Yeah, well, you know, the thing about Rick Barnes is that he is just like, you listen to him talk and you're like, man, this guy is just relentless. And watch him at practice, too. He just yells, he screams. He's not profane. He's really a straight-laced guy. But he's just always on his players. And so to a certain extent, at this point, you realize that it's kind of not an act, but it's all part of his shtick to get a young team to keep, you know, to keep from looking at the rankings and to keep from looking at Joe Lunardi's bracketology. So yes, the answer is yes. Rick Barnes is not going to let up and admit it, but yes, this team is clicking and playing the way probably been better than he had hoped for when they were picked 13th in the league at the beginning of the season.
Well, and they sit now at second in the conference at 18-5 overall, and playing out of their minds. Really, I look at this game at this team, and I see Grant Williams, Admiral Schofield, who was, by the way, one of the coolest names in all of college basketball. But you've got those two guys, 6'7", 6'5", and they're leading in scoring and in rebounding. How's the rotation? Do these guys play, you know, a majority of the minutes? Do they have a big guy, a truly big guy? Or do they just get up and down the court with their, you know, with medium size?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's not totally different than the way Auburn plays. I mean, Auburn plays a little faster, and there are certainly some differences in those two teams. But if you look at Auburn's sort of undersized nature and how they managed to get by with it, Tennessee's not all that different. Now, Grant Williams, his 6'7", I mean, that's probably a little generous. I mean, I think last year's roster, he was listed at 6'6", maybe even 6'5". He's kind of short, but he plays big. I mean, he's got a way about him that he can get shots off against defenders that are even, you know, 4 or 5 inches taller. And the rest of the answer to your question is they do have a big guy in Kyle Alexander, who's 6'11". He'll be the guy who jumps at center, you know, for tomorrow's game. And he's gotten a lot better. I mean, if you guys remember him, you know, coming down there to play Alabama or Auburn the last two seasons, I mean, that guy was just a they called him Bambi because he's just yeah. This lanky guy who was flailing all over the place. He's bulked up. He's matured. He's quite a bit better now. He's been playing pretty well for Tennessee in conference play. So they'll put him in there for 20, 25 minutes a night. But there will be times when you're right, it's going to be Williams and Schofield comprising the front court for Tennessee. And that's an undersized lineup. And, you know, looking at what Alabama's got in 6'9 and 6'10 and Hall and Giddens, you might think that they could do some work down there. But it's not easy. Tennessee's a tough team. They pride themselves on their defense, and Schofield and Williams play physical despite the fact that they're relatively short.
Well, and I want to ask you about that defense because, you know, I sat and I watched that Kentucky game, and I know how big the Tennessee-Kentucky rivalry is and how important it was for them to go into Rupp Arena and get that win. But the defensive scheme that you guys were running against Kentucky was tremendous. I mean, early on in that basketball game, I kept seeing just you – it felt like Rick Barnes said, okay, anybody that gets the basketball is getting double-teamed. I mean, like, that's the way that it felt when watching that basketball game. With him and his defensive scheming, I obviously don't think they're double-teaming everybody every time they get the basketball. What about him when it does come to having to scheme against an Alabama team that's got one or two guys that can take over a basketball game and Colin Sexton and possibly John Petty when he actually makes his shots?
Right, yeah, I was actually going to bring that up. I'm very interested to see what the strategy is going to be for how Tennessee is going to defend Colin Sexton. If you go back to the beginning of conference play, Tennessee had some struggles defending the guards for Auburn and the guards for Arkansas. Those were the Tennessee started 0-2 in the league because they couldn't defend the guards from those two teams. You know, and of course they've won 9 out of their last 10 or whatever it is, and you know, and everything is all well and good now. But I mean, they haven't faced somebody as good as Colin Sexton in several weeks, and so I'm intrigued to see who they give that matchup to. You know, Tennessee likes to play man-to-man. They will go zone if they have to, but Tennessee's going to be man-to-man. I'll be really interested to see who they put on Colin Sexton, what the approach is there, because if you try and bring too much help over on him, like you mentioned, Petty can hit. I know that from just from watching the Alabama-Auburn game, you know. So Tennessee might have to do some different things. They might have to play more zone tomorrow. And, you know, I'll be interested to see what strategy they take to defending Sexton, because obviously if he gets going, you know, so does Alabama.
Well, and I'm looking at Tennessee's stats, and I, to be honest with you, I'd not paid a whole lot of attention before today. You know, I'd watched them play a couple times. They're really fun to watch. But I'm looking at their field goal percentage. They're 45.2%, free throw percent 76%, and then three-point percent 39%. It's the same numbers as Auburn. You talked about the size and all that. It seems like they play the exact same game. Everyone knows Bruce Pearl, and y'all particularly know him up there. What has Rick Barnes brought that the previous administration, the previous regime, didn't, that got them removed and Rick Barnes in?
Well, I mean, it's all about the defense and the toughness with Barnes. I mean, you look at the three-point shooting percentage, and it is good. That's more of a credit to the individual work that some of these guys put in, either after practice or during the off season. I mean, if Rick Barnes had it his way, they would practice 4 hours a day and work on defense for 3 hours and 45 minutes.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's all about the man-to-man defense with him. That's kind of, I mean, that's his thing. And that doesn't necessarily make him unique. I mean, that's what a lot of coaches prefer to play and what a lot of coaches spend a lot of time on. You know, but they can get out and run. And the thing that gets them going offensively, and I wrote about this for an article that will be in our paper tomorrow, it's an unselfish team. It's a team with really good chemistry. So when they get the ball down on the offensive end, they're not afraid to pass the ball 5, 6, 7 times a possession, have everybody on the floor touch the ball, and then come up with the best look. So that's, I think, why their three-point percentage is as good as it is this year. Is because of the unselfishness of this team on the offensive end. It's not that they've got, you know, just some one prolific guy who's you got to watch out for, like maybe a Petty with Alabama, but it's three or four, sometimes five guys who can't hit from the outside, and it's a team that's willing to swing the ball around until late in the shot clock until they find the look that they want.
David Cobb's joining us right now from the Chattanooga Times Free Press, and they don't show this pattern. I mean, with Alabama, we see a pattern. They play a bad basketball game against a bad team. They then go in, they beat a good team. You guys are coming off of a game where you literally just went to one of the hardest arenas in the country to play in Rupp Arena, and now you're going to what I call the airplane hangar known as Coleman Coliseum. Is there an idea of a potential of a letdown because of how big the Tennessee-Kentucky rivalry is in basketball?
Oh, yeah, and I mean, if Tennessee goes down there and beats Alabama, I mean, that's a great win for Tennessee. Your listeners will probably be happy to know that I was one of, I think, 8 AP voters this week that had Alabama in the top 25.
Oh,
I mean, and
that.
I know that they've been really good at home. They beat Oklahoma. I mean, so it's a tough place to play, and I don't think by any means that going to Coleman Coliseum is something that Tennessee is going to take lightly. Now, sure, coming off the win against Kentucky at Rupp Arena, that was pretty historic by the program standards. And so I think there is a possibility of a you know, Tennessee could come out and lose tomorrow. Not because they're not focused or they weren't taking Alabama seriously, but because Alabama's pretty good, and that's a really tough place to win. I think that's kind of where it falls. And to be honest with you guys, at this point, it wouldn't maybe be the worst thing in the world for Tennessee to get a loss. They might need a reality check. I mean, there's some people out there that are throwing percentages around that Tennessee could land the fourth number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Now, for a group of players that has never even played in the NCAA tournament before, you know, you got to wonder how that kind of talk might affect their mindset. So Rick Barnes wouldn't say it. He hasn't at least said it yet. But I wonder if maybe a loss wouldn't be the worst thing in the world for Tennessee. To kind of bring them back down to earth from what's been a really good 3 or 4 week stretch for them.
Well, and you mentioned that, and you talk about, so look, I mean, it's no secret. I mean, we're in Montgomery. We're 45 minutes away from Auburn. And I said earlier in the show that this is a game that, unfortunately, Auburn may be wanting to cheer for Alabama to win to kind of give them a little bit of space when it comes to that number one seed in the SEC tournament. But your schedule is a lot easier than what Auburn's is coming up. And I mean, you know, you have Alabama, but South Carolina, the Georgia team that Auburn's going to face, outside of Florida, all of these games look extremely winnable. Is that also something that, again, could affect this team when you're talking about a potential of a number one seed? Because if they were to get past Alabama, they could seriously go on a run where going into the SEC tournament, you guys are looking at 11, 12 wins in a row.
Yeah, you're right. There's not an Auburn or a Kentucky, you know, left on Tennessee's schedule. There is a game against Florida, you know, who can really get a read on them. But, you know, that'll be a challenge. At the end of the day, though, this league is so tough this year that I think, you know, I think that they'll be fine headed into the postseason. You know, it's not like years past where you're going to have a team, you know, sitting at 2-14, you know, the last week of the league. That's just not the case this year. This league is stacked top to bottom. And, you know, Lunardi, I think, has 8 teams in right now. So even though Tennessee still, you know, is going to play Ole Miss and Mississippi State two of its last games, those are on the road. I mean, going into Humphrey Coliseum and Starkville and winning is not easy. You know, Alabama, I guess, lost there this week. So and same with Ole Miss. I mean, Tennessee beat Ole Miss by 33 at home earlier this year, but they've got to go to Oxford and play there, and those games are going to be challenges. And, you know, Ole Miss isn't going to get in, but Mississippi State still could. I just think that the schedule is so tough in the SEC this year that Tennessee will be fine. And maybe Auburn will be better for the fact that they've had to play a tougher schedule the last few weeks. But it's just such a tough league this year that I think any game in the league is going to test you, and it's going to give you a chance to get better.
Well, David, you know, and you mentioned it, to backtrack just a little bit about Kentucky, and I know they're not the Kentucky team of old, but you swept Kentucky, and I watched, I can't say all of it, but I watched a good bit of the game Tuesday night. Was it just me, or was Rupp really, really dead?
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. Have you guys been there before?
Yes.
I have not.
Yes, I went there for Kentucky-Tennessee. I want to say it might have been Bruce Pearl's last Kentucky-Tennessee game.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure that was a pretty good environment.
Oh, it was, yeah.
this won't surprise you guys, and I'm sure a lot of the beat writers in Alabama can relate, but the lion's share of my experience has been, you know, as far as, like, traveling, has been traveling to road SEC games and football, and I've been to most of the football stadiums in the league. I've only been to a handful of the basketball venues, and that was my first time at Rupp Arena the other night. And so I had big-time expectations. I mean, Calipari had put out a message to the fan base, you know, really imploring them to come out and be loud for this game. Obviously, Tennessee was coming in. It was a ranked matchup on ESPN. I was expecting, you know, it to be pretty loud and for that to be a pretty good environment. It's hard to say you're disappointed. The place was still packed. You know, I don't want to, like, anger the basketball gods. But I was a little bit underwhelmed. You know, not to say it didn't get loud, you know, at tense moments, at key points in the game. But it wasn't quite as just off the chain as I thought it might be. And from talking to folks who have been there multiple times and covered multiple games, they said, you know, this is usually a little louder than this. This wasn't Rupp Arena's best night. Well, and I was surprised by that.
Well, you know, and it's when I was sitting there, and I was actually talking to somebody the next day at lunch, and I said, I think they got as many blue hairs as Bama does. Like, it's that, like, Bama blue hair football fans, like, unless it's LSU or Tennessee, you know, back in the glory days, and it just doesn't get really loud there, except for maybe Auburn. And that's what really, really struck me, that, you know, it was just seemed really, really dead, like the old people just didn't care. And you know, it was, I don't know, I was struck by it, to say the least.
Dick Vitale was making jokes about it. He was like, Coach Cal needs to get on the microphone and tell these people to wake up. You know, he's doing it in his Dick Vitale voice. But, I mean, it was extremely quiet. It was really and honestly kind of eerie.
Okay, well, I'm glad you guys said that, too, because like I said, I didn't want to, like, you know, I don't want to get Big Blue Nation on my case or anything. But I was a little bit underwhelmed, too. And you guys mentioned, you know, Alabama football fans. Let me say this. When Tennessee was down there at Bryant-Denny this year, I mean, everybody knew going into that game that Alabama was gonna roll. Even still, the atmosphere was amazing at that stadium. I remember being down there on the field for the last few minutes of the game. Alabama's got this thing in the bag, but nobody's left.
Nope.
It's very, very loud, and you know there's cigar smoke coming at you from all over the stadium. I mean, it was incredible, I just was very impressed by the atmosphere in Alabama football. And, you know, in terms of Alabama football versus Kentucky basketball, Brian Denny versus Rupp, at least from what I saw this year, I give the edge to Brian Denny.
Yeah, and I will say that when I went up, because I looked it up as you were talking, it was the 2010 game that I went to, because it was the day before Valentine's Day, which is, you know, like we're coming up on like an 8-year anniversary of that. But it was Kentucky basketball is Alabama football. Like, they're identical. And the way that Kentucky basketball fans have always treated Tennessee fans is the same way that Alabama has always treated Auburn fans. It's like, oh, y'all are cute, y'all make it the Sweet 16. Oh, that's cool, we got championships.
Well, and I will say this, that third Saturday in October, that cigar was very, very sweet. Okay, so the last question I got for you, and I was hoping to be up there, but I'm not going to be able to make it to Tuscaloosa tomorrow. Please tell me they're not bringing the pep band.
No, from what I've seen, the Tennessee band hasn't traveled to a road basketball game this year.
Dang it.
Great news to me.
Yeah, didn't want to hear Rocky
Again,
Top.
I am not, as a Bama fan, I'm not real sure what's going to happen tomorrow. I think Alabama will come out and play well. I actually predicted the win against Florida last Saturday. But then again, I predicted a win against Mississippi State. I'm hoping Alabama plays well. I was just hoping like hell to not hear Rocky Top.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because you know how like half of probably two-thirds of Tennessee's new football staff either graduated from or worked at Alabama?
Yeah.
Well, they introduced themselves to the fan base the other night, and about half of them all had some remark to make about Rocky Top, about how they're glad that they can finally like that song now, or something to that effect. So I suspect that deep down there's going to be some reservations there still for a little while with some of those guys. But yeah.
I was expecting somebody to say, okay, it's going to take a little bit to get used to liking that song.
Well, I'll tell you this, though. You've got a really, really good one in Jeremy Pruitt. He is going to do a great, great job for Vol Nation, and I hate to lose him.
So.
And hopefully at some point, if Nick retires, then we can bring him back down to Tuscaloosa.
Boy, it'll either be Pruitt or Dabo, right?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Okay, final question for you, Dave. I know we got to let you roll. I see on your Twitter feed that you retweeted some question that was asked of Kyle Alexander about starting a band. I'm not curious about the answer. I'm curious as to why the question got asked.
Okay, well, I've got to raise my hand here and be honest with you. I was actually the one who asked the question.
Oh, that's even better.
Well, the reason I asked it was because this video surfaced online on Twitter in the past few days of Kyle Alexander and Admiral Schofield doing a singing and guitar like duet. You know, it was just kind of funny because you got like these huge basketball players like singing these like really like delicate like indie songs and you know, playing guitar and singing and whatnot. So as part of this story I was doing on the team chemistry, I was like, you know, hey, so Kyle, you know, if you had to start a band, who would you pick from the team? And so he says, you know, I'm on the vocals, Admiral's on the guitar. He said Grant Williams, who's Tennessee's leading scorer, would play the piano. And then the best part was that this 18-year-old freshman from France, who looks like a bodybuilder, apparently plays the saxophone. So Yves Pons would be the fourth member of the band and play the saxophone. So great answer. I've actually used it in my story. So maybe a little odd that came up at a media availability today, but... you know, there was at least a method to my madness in bringing that up with Kyle today.
Hey, that's the only reason I asked, because I saw it and I went, okay, you don't just randomly ask this unless it's like SEC media days and we've just asked all the questions that we can ask because this is like the fifth time you've talked to him. Like, you know, it's Super Bowl media day and it's like Thursday and you're going, so what video game you been playing all week? Like, you know, it's something along those lines. So that's the right reason why I asked you.
Yeah, I'm not usually that guy. So hopefully my buddies in the media don't hold it against me. But you know, his answer seemed to be satisfactory to most people. So, you know, and the ABC, the local ABC affiliate, thought enough to make a Twitter clip out of it. So, you know, hopefully it didn't lessen my street cred here on the beat at all.
No, it's all right, because I actually just found the video, so when we hang up with you, I'm going to play it.
All right, guys. Well, hey, thanks so much for having me on. Anytime, I'm happy to do it.
Hey, thanks, David, man. Enjoy the weekend. Have a good one.
Okay.
All right, see you. That's David Cobb of the Chattanooga Times.